Heavenly Father, I come by the blood of Jesus, confessing my sins. I ask for mercy to be a faithful steward of a mysteries of a kingdom today. I ask for grace that I minister today. I will not speak for myself, but I will speak from heaven under covering. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Spirit. That the work will do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened with revelation, our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the Spirit. As the word goes forth, let it bring healing, let it bring deliverance, let it meet every need in our lives, let it bring praise and glory to our Lord Jesus and blessing unto us, the sons of men. Lord, I also pray for grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. I also ask for your help, Holy Spirit, to bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, in faith for all you will do in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. The title of my message today is Overcoming Much Distraction. Let's say it together, Overcoming Much Distraction. How many can agree that there is so much distraction? Too many in this end time. But God does not want it to overcome us. God wants to overcome much distraction. Praise the Lord. As I was thinking there, you know, in those days when we're in the school, when we're in school, secondary school, when I wasn't born again, let me say that ahead of time, so people don't think Christians can do what I'm about to say. But I want you to illustrate the point. You know, we will sneak out of the boarding house. I wasn't born again. I repeat that then. So don't say, don't go and do it. Bible says such things should not be named among us. So we'll sneak out. Why? Because we want to go and watch a film. I used to have Odeon Cinema, Scala and Queen Cinema. Yes, possibly, guys. We both went to GCI. So, what am I saying? We'll go there, go and watch a film. Maybe something like Bruce Lee's film, Enter the Dragon and all that. Then we'll come back feeling cool with ourselves that we're going to watch a film. But you know, you have to go through much difficulty to enjoy that kind of entertainment. But why have I said what I've said? So, we don't think about going out, sneaking out. No. All that entertainment today, you can enjoy it on your phone. Satan has come downstairs. You see, you don't need to go out or sneak again. So, you see, you can, you know, we'll go and watch things like Enter the Dragon House, Bruce Lee, then you come back. I remember those days, I used to have these non-charcoal sticks. I made one, you know, that, you know, I don't want to talk about Bruce Lee today. You know, like, there are sticks I used to fight. So, we'll put it in your pocket. So, everybody will be bragging that, we watched that film. But now, who can imagine the kind of temptation, the kind of distraction that we and our children are facing. You don't need to sneak out again. Before you wake up in the morning, there are video clips, everything that if you sit down, you can keep watching and watching and watching. And the end of the day, it's a distraction. Which is, Bible says, redeeming the time because it is our evil. So when Paul said it, if it is by evil, you can imagine what we are going through now. Praise the Lord. But God is here to set us free. God is here to what? Set us free. As we sat down worshiping God, that God spoke to me. I wrote it down before I continue. Lord spoke to me, said, if you always do the right thing at the right time, you will never do the wrong thing at any time. Let's say it again. Lord spoke to me. He said, let's read it out. If you always do the right thing at the right time, you will never, say never, do the wrong thing at any time. Praise the Lord. So let's look at the Bible today. We'll be looking at the life of Martha and Mary. Because not only distractions in the world, there's also distractions in the body of Christ. Even within the Christian setting. Even with our so-called activity. So we're going to look at it. Luke chapter 10 verse 14 in the Amplified Bible. Luke chapter 10 verse 14 in the 40 in the Amplified Bible. No, sorry. Luke 10 verse 38 in the Amplified Bible. What does it say? Now, while they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered a certain village. Let's read together. And a woman named Martha received and welcomed him. How many people have received Christ into your lives today? So you can be a Martha. Are you with me? Into the next verse. And she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. You see, we need to make a transition from a Martha to become a Mary. Next verse. Listen to his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was what? Distracted with much serving. Distracted with much servants. All in the house. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone. Tell her then to help me to lend a hand and do her part along with me. Next verse. I always watch out for those people. Since I've been born again, I watch out for those people. I watch out for them. And you need to watch out for them. I won't say more than that. They are always looking for people to join them. Always trying to take you out of the most important thing at the right time. Because that's how they think they can please man. But he don't reply to her by saying, "Matter, matter. You are anxious." Say anxious. And troubled about many things. Next verse. There's need of only one or but a few things. Mary, say Mary, has chosen the word good portion. That which is to our advantage, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, what I want us to notice here is this. When both people made choices, the Lord did not go and tell Martha and say, "Why are you cooking when I'm preaching? Did he? He just left them. Why? Because it could see into their hearts that Martha decided to go and cook when she ought to be listening at his word. He didn't disturb them all. He just left them. It was when Martha now started getting agitated. And I went to the master and said, I'm trying to prepare what you are going to eat, master. How many people are trying to prepare what Jesus Christ will be today? And I said, why did you tell Mary to come and join me? That was when the Lord spoke. We need to be careful of the choices we make. The fact that the Lord keeps quiet and you are serving does not mean he approves of it. So let's look chapter 10 verse 40. Say, but Martha was overly occupied and too busy and was distracted with what? Much serving. Message Bible. Luke chapter 10 verse 41. Luke 10 41. Message Bible. What does it say? The master said, "Martha, dear Martha, you are forcing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing." Mercy, Lord. Next verse. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the word main course. Say main course. And won't be taken from her. Say, and won't be taken from her. So we need to know what is the main course. So. And what is the first course. So don't get busy about getting dessert ready. Instead of focusing on the main course. Very important. I have a translation here in book of in NLT, New Living Translation. Say, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered. Say, Mary has discovered. And it will not be taken away from her. So we must discover the most important thing, which will not be taken away from us. Praise the Lord. It's like the locks on Samson's head. Once it was taken away from him, he lost everything. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. The Lord's warning about the end time. Luke chapter 21 verse 34. It's a major occurrence in the end time. It's the spirit of the age. Especially in the area of entertainment. There are many things. You know, to distract people. Cause people from focus. Luke chapter 21 verse 34 to 36. Are we there? Say, but take heed to yourselves. And be on your guard. See, and be on your guard. Lest your hearts be what? Overburdened and depressed. Weighed down with what? The giddiness. Say, the giddiness. And the headache. And the nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly worries and cares pertaining to what the business, the business of this life. Unless that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. Next verse. For it will what? It will come upon all who live upon the face of the earth, of the entire earth. Next verse. Say, keep awake. Then and watch at all times. Be discreet, attentive, and ready. Praying that you may have the full strength and ability and be accounted worthy to escape all these things taken together that will take place and to say stand in the presence of the Son of Man. That means if you are distracted, when he comes, you'll not be able to stand. Bible says, who shall stand when he appeareth? So this is one of Satan's gimmicks, schemes in this end time. So Mary understood the most important thing. He understood what the Bible says, Luke chapter 4, verse 4. That man shall not live by bread alone. But by what? Every word of that proceeded out of the mouth of God. She understood that it's not about cooking. There's nothing wrong about cooking for the master. But see, there's a time for everything under the sun. Martha should have stayed with Mary to listen to the word Are you with me? Then after the word, they will now go and cook. Don't reverse the order. The body of Christ has reversed the order today. Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the... But now we have left perfecting of the saints, and we are now trying to do the work of the ministry with the imperfect people. So the body is not edified. Are you with me? The thing, perfecting of the saints. Then as the saints are perfected, they will do the work of the ministry. But we have left that one now, and we're running helter-skelter, planting churches everywhere, trying to get people saved. Imperfect people start to save imperfect people. I put in my notes because of time. Service for Christ versus intimacy with Christ. I'll just read. We need to balance our service for Christ with our intimacy with Christ and prioritize our intimacy with Christ above our service for Christ. Above our service for Christ, because it is our intimacy and active union with Him in the place of daily prayer and meditation in the Word that will cause us to bring forth the Christ in the fullness in our flesh. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. You see, I don't care how much activity you are involved in. If you don't get to a place of intimacy and fellowship with God in prayer, daily prayer, and walk in the Spirit and meditation in the Word, you can never give back to the Christ in your flesh. So, wherefore, my brethren, we also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ. This is what I want to see. That you should be what? Married. Say married to another. Even to him who is raised from the dead. That we should what? Bring forth fruit unto God. So if you are not married to Christ, you cannot bring forth. Married there is talking about intimacy in the place. When like a husband and a wife, you know, when they get married and have intimacy, you know. The wife gets pregnant. Are you following me? So can you imagine a woman that avoids that situation in the home? Can they ever have children of their own? No, unless go and adopt. So we can see there that it takes intimacy to bring forth the Christ. Praise the Lord. So let's look at matter and see what matter did, the problem as identified by the Lord Jesus Christ. So not be what we are thinking. Is what the matter actually said. So I said, like many Christians, matter has misplaced our priorities, you know, spiritual priorities, because of the dominion of the sin nature in the flesh. The problem as identified by Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 10, verse 41 in KJV. Luke 10, 41 in KJV. This is what Jesus Christ said after she asked him the question. The Lord said, what did the Lord say? He said, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art say careful and troubled about many things. Say careful and troubled. Say again, careful and troubled. So those are the two problems that the master pointed out. I will try and unravel it by the grace of God. Say careful and troubled. So when you are careful, means we are full of care. You are full of different cares. The cares of this world, the sickness of riches, and lots of other things. So even though she was cooking for the master said, you are careful about too many things. So what does that mean? To be careful is to be full of care, or to be anxious. It is an indication of a prayerless life or a prayerless Christian, which indicates an insufficient power being generated from the place of prayer. Are you with me? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. What does it say? It says, be careful for nothing. Say, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Are you with me? So it says that once you find yourself being careful, running around the old place, even though you're a member of the body of Christ, like a perambulator. Are you with me? That means that we are not generating sufficient power in the place of prayer. I'm not saying that we don't do things, physical things, we do. But you see, they must be controlled by the Spirit. So Satan does not hijack it. And then he begins to go to and fro. You know, like Pastor Lee was sharing, by the prince of the power of the air. He knows that none of us here has in our right senses will go and watch Enter the Dragon in wherever. But he will get you occupied with what is not important. He will not get us occupied in Jesus. We have seen what it means to be careful. That's what the master said. And being careful about managing, I said the problem with that is because that person is not prayerful. So if you are careful, then you are not prayerful. That's it. So troubled, you see, when you are not prayerful and you are not releasing sufficient power in the place of prayer, then you are going to be troubled. First Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28. Paul was talking. He said, I've been faithful. He said that, I'll just read that part. He says that, but, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. If a man shall marry, nevertheless, he shall have this one. Say, nevertheless, such shall have what? Trouble in the flesh. Now, what is the trouble in our flesh as Christians? The residual sin nature. That is what troubles us. That's what agitates us. When you are envious, it's the sin nature that Satan is activating from outside. That's why Paul said, he said, I find a law warring my members, bring the captive law. He said, the things I want to do, I don't want to do. The ones I want to do, I don't want to do. That's what I find myself doing. It is when they're supposed to come to church, that is the time you want to go and cook. It's time you're supposed to pray, that it's there will say, why don't you first of all have breakfast before you pray? Yes, that's how I operate. Are you with me? So he said, the things I do, it's not to condemn anybody. Are you with me? But like I said earlier on, it's for us to know what to do. So once you do the right thing at the right time, you not do the wrong thing at any time. Praise the Lord. So that is what happened to Martha, you know, as we have read. And it's an indication of a thorny ground. Mark chapter 4, verse 7. Mark chapter 4, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, that is, choked the word, and it yielded no fruit. Verse 18. And this was given the interpretation, the meaning of the parable. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the loss of other things, entering in and choke the word, and become it unfruitful. Will not become unfruitful in Jesus' name. Okay. So that is the problem. It speaks of a thorny heart. You see, the thorny heart, the problem with thorny heart is, like Pastor has shared over the years, the thorns were already there before the seed was sown. Yes. When you get born again, God removes the sin nature from your spirit. But you see, you have a thorns, a type of a sin nature in your soul and in your body. So it contends with the word that has been sown in the heart. But we are going to overcome in Jesus' name. Now let's take a look at Mary. What made the difference? We also look at what the master said that made Mary approved. That God, why God approved him. So Luke chapter 10, verse 39. And the Bible says that, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And heard his word. So we see what Mary did. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That reminds me of Ruth. The Bible says that Ruth, at night, he went to uncover the feet of Boaz. Why? Uncovering his feet, like Papa Raph taught us, is to learn how he walked. Are you with me? The Bible says, if any man abides in him, he also shall walk, even as he walked. We need to learn how did Jesus Christ overcome distractions in his own time. Yes! He's our example. He may not have the cell phone in those days, but were distractions. Even the disciples, Peter, do you remember Mark chapter 1 verse 5? He said, wake up a good time before dawn and depart to a slow place, go and pray. And then they will come and say, Master, they are waiting for you. They are waiting for you. You say, no, I must go to this place. Why? He learned the trick which I've explained to you. He will get up before the distraction come. Are you following me? We have already set things into motion. That's the secret, though. There's a scripture that God gave me. I'll mention it. And I say, a full soul, loaded what? An honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Now look at the natural. We are talking about salvation of our souls. If you have children at home and they want to go to school, you know, in those days, they warn us. Don't take it if anybody. Because they know that as children, I follow them. Related, you, the tendency, because it's not every time that parents buy chewing gum for their, well, it's chewing gum in those days, chewing gum for their children. So, but you know what you do? When you wake up in the morning as parents, you prepare their food. As they are taking cornflakes, they are taking Milo, take Ogi, take Akara, fill them. So by the time they get out and say, take it, chewing gum, his tummy will be like this. There's no space for chewing gum again. What am I saying? If you would daily get up in the morning and fill yourself with God, the distraction cannot come. You will reject it. You will reject it. A full soul, loads an honeycomb. You can take that in different areas. I don't care if you are working or a lecturer or whatever, and the lecturer begins to tempt you, or lecturers that have ulterior motives. When you are full of God in the morning, whatever they are using to lure you, Father, let me take you out. Let me buy this for you. Let me, you know, this iPhone nonsense rubbish. Say, no, I don't want. Because you are full of God in the morning. And you don't need an iPhone to commune with God in the morning. God is talking to you directly. So take your iPhone away. On his God's iPhone. Thank you, sir. You are talking to somebody. So put your iPhone in your pocket. Just help us understand how to relate this in our daily life. So we're looking at Mary. Praise the Lord. So it says that, but one thing is needful. Luke 10:42. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. So Christ also says two things about Mary. We've looked at that of Martha, careful and troubled. Are you with me? So it says, but identifies the reason for Mary's acceptance. Say needful and good part, and also the choice that she made. Say needful and good part. So the needful and good part speaks of the tithe. The needful and the good part speaks of a tithe that you give God every morning. But the tithe is the first, not the last. 10%. So it is the tenth part that we first give to our high priest after the order of Melchizedek in daily prayer. And all we've been taught to do. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 2. See, you know, he said the good part. So we're talking about the good part today. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 2. What does it say? To whom also Abraham gave what? A tenth part. Say the tenth part of all. First being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. So what is the primary work of our high priest? It's not just our receiving of our tithes or offering. He's ever living to make intercession for us. So the first tenth of that morning is what, so to speak, using Mary as a type, gave. He says she has chosen the good part and nobody can take it from her. That is, when Jesus Christ came to that house, they had choices to make. Mary gave the good part, the first 10% of our time. While Mary took that one, and Martha went to go and cook with the intention of, okay, by the time I come back, no, it's not accepted though. It's not accepted though. Your tithe is the first fruits. How can you be doing your morning prayer at 6 o'clock in the evening? And you're saying, ha. So why do you want to give God your tithe of your time in the evening? Shows how much you like him. Mercy, Lord. So that is the good path. I follow myself. I know Mary has chosen that path. So what have you been taught to choose in this place? The fear of God. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 29. It's talked about those that did not choose the fear of God. It says, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of God. So God expects us daily to give our tithe of our time by choosing the fear of God. Are you with me? So let's see. He said Mary stayed at the feet of Jesus Christ, listening to his word. And I find it very interesting. Jesus Christ did not say, Mary, I'm hungry. Why don't you go and cook first? Isaiah chapter 66, Isaiah 66 verse 2 in Amplified Bible. Isaiah 66 verse 2 in Amplified Bible. 66 2. Where the Lord was talking about those that tremble at his word. So for all these things, my hand has made. And so all these things have come into being by and for me, says the Lord. Now let's get it. But this is the man or the woman to whom I will look and have regard. He who is what? Humble and of a broken or wounded spirit, and who trembles at my word and reveres my commands. So you can see Martha there, Mary there, and Martha was not there. Martha didn't tremble at God's word. So God didn't look at her. God didn't even reckon with her. It's a very dangerous place to be. Now, I'll put examples here to support what I've said. Aaron's rod that budded. Aaron's rod budded in the place of intimacy and not ministry. You know, because of time, he had been using the rod. He would throw it down, it became a snake. And then he swallowed up the snakes of Jannes and Jambres. But it was when they put those rods overnight in the tabernacle that he budded. Numbers chapter 7 verse 78. And it came to pass that on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. That's why it's good to spend all night praying, seeking the face of the Lord, of witness. And behold, what? The rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. It didn't bud though when they were used in Egypt for ministry work. So it could not be kept in the ark permanently until it budded. You have been ordained to bring forth fruit. You have not been just ordained to be a pastor. A pastor without fruit, it's like winds, like Bible says in Jude, that dream about. clouds without rain, wandering stars, wells without water. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So we've seen that. So why is this message very important, folks? Trees that bear leaves and do not bear fruit at all, or good fruit, shall be cut down. Matthew chapter 3 verse 10. We will bear fruit in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 3 verse 10. What does it say? It's John the Baptist said, and now also, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit. Say, good fruit. Not just any fruit. Good fruit. God doesn't want fruit that will make his, how do I say, the sour fruit. No, he wants good fruit. It's what hewn down and cast into the fire. Trees in the Bible speaks about men. As you all should know. We will bear fruit in Jesus' name. Mark 11, 13, we know, I just mentioned it. When the master was going to Jerusalem, he was going to appear in the temple, as I was expecting him. Then he saw this fig tree. They had a lot of leaves, activity. So he assumed that, how can you have this kind of activity and you not have fruit? So he went to it to look for fruit. Unfortunately, he found none. Then he cursed the tree. What happened? That by the next day, the fig tree had dried off from its roots. Why? That should tell you something, that God is more interested in fruits than leaves. Or else you have taken some of the leaves. Leave our works. All this activity being cumbered about. Are you following me? It's easier for trees to bring forth leaves than fruit, because fruit takes time. It takes years to bear fruit. You have to keep doing it. Keep at it. But leaves, once a plant sprouts, the first thing you see is leaves to come out. So any Christian can have leaves, but not many Christians can have good fruit. Now I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit here, which is love. So let's look at the aspect of being cumbered about with much serving. Luke chapter 10, verse 14. This is what the master said, just to be a fact. Says, matter, say, but say, matter was cumbered about much serving. Say, cumbered about with much serving. Now, take this to the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. Let's read. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. About the fig tree that was planted in the garden, and he went to the vine dresser and said, why cumbered did the ground? So you can see matter in the vineyard there. So, and he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, set up of a church. And he came and sought fruit there, like the master sought the fruit, and found none. Next verse. And then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years, say 3 years, I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbered it the ground? Matter was cumbered about with much serving. Next verse. But there is hope. Please, let's read the next verse. You can't stop there. It didn't stop there. So, and he answered and said unto him, Lord, say, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. So, if you have not been bearing much fruit, if you have not, Pastor preached a message about bearing fruit some time ago, just mention it. If you look at the book of, I think it's in John chapter 15, it says that every tree that does not bear fruit, he said, you take it away. You take it away. That is what was about to happen to this fig tree. It was about to be taken away. But God is mercy. Let's give an extension of time. No problem. Let's give an extension of time. Are you following me? So there was one that was bringing forth fruit. Then he said, purge it so I can bring forth much fruit. Then there was the one that was bringing forth much fruit. That's why the master said, I've ordained you to bring forth much fruit. Praise the Lord. So if you look at that word, he said, the one that is not bearing fruit, I think it's verse 1. He said, take it away. He said, the tree that does not bring forth, said, shall take it away. If you take that to Isaiah, it said that the righteous is taken away for the evil to come. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Okay, I thought you would have just quickly dropped there. Anyway, let's continue. So that was a cumbered. What does it mean? It means to draw away, to distract, to render idle, unemployed, to have no further efficiency. I want to check the meaning. If you check the meaning where it talked about matter, and combine it with our victory. That's what he says. He said to draw away. To distract. To render idle. Unemployed. To have no further efficiency. The person is doing something, but the person is doing nothing. Like I say, work done is equal to zero. I'll not be apportioned in Jesus' name. I put it here, I was sharing with somebody recently. He said, distractions will make our love for the Lord wax cold. Say, distractions will make our love for the Lord wax cold. That was what happened to Peter. After the Lord resurrected, they said, I go out fishing. And when Jesus Christ came back, what did he tell him? He said, Peter, lovest me more than this. That means his love already waxed cold. Are you with me? That's the problem with the Ephesian church. He said, I know your works, that you do this and you do this. He said, we have left your first love. He said, repent and do the first works. He said, unless I will come and take away your candlestick. God will not take away a candlestick in Jesus' name. That's the same thing with the Laodicean church. He said, you are wretched, miserable. They were distracted with the wealth they have. I'm not saying wrong to be rich, but don't let it be a distraction. Mommy always says that money is a servant. It must not be a master. Are you following me? So you can see those two, you know, when he rebuked the Ephesian church. That was also the problem of Job, that Pastor Kule mentioned tangentially in Bible study. Job too had left his first love, so to speak, and was combined about with sacrifices. Are you following me? Sacrifices. You know, run a skelter. We are working for the man of God. Or we are, whatever you are doing. You know, things that don't count. Things that cannot make you, so to speak, spiritually get pregnant and give birth to the child, to Christ's child. So, I said we are firstly ordained to bear fruit with him in intimacy before service. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Bible says, Mark 3, 14 says that he ordained the 12 that they might first of all be with him. Say, be with him. And also that they might send them forth to preach. So the primary thing for everyone who's supposed to be a disciple is to first of all be with him. Then out of being with him, you can now go and preach. Don't reverse the order. For the perfection of the saints comes before the work of the ministry. Are you with me? There should be a saying in those days, your outreach must never be more than your outreach to God. Praise the Lord. So John 15, 16. He said the same thing. He said, I have chosen, you know that word ordained. He says that, I have not chosen, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you go and bring forth fruit. That is your fault. Everybody is ordained though, to bring forth fruit. And that your fruit will remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Next verse. Next verse. These things I command you that you love on that. So if you link all those scriptures, bearing fruit is walking in love one to another. Are you with me? Yes. So you have been ordained to bear fruit. That is your primary assignment. So, and I put it, I said, the measure of the fruit of the spirit that we bear will determine the measure of the spirit, that measure that we carry. John chapter 14, verse 12. He says, the works that I do shall you do, and greater works than this shall you do. It's very, very, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go unto my Father, and whatever I shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Next verse. Next verse, please. Mercy, Lord. You are just forcing me to be unnecessary patience, fruit of patience. If you love me, keep my commandments. So we can see what the fruit is. No, of course, there's no point bearing fruit of patience here. When I know I'm going to face tomorrow, let me conserve. Beg. Praise the Lord. So, the fourth point, there is coming, the fourth point I have, which is very, very important, I want to take you to this point, is that there is coming a time soon when revival will break out, when there will seem to be no time for intimacy with the Lord. Sorry to speak in Yoruba, that is where we are now. There is coming a time that revival will break out, and there will seem to be no time for intimacy with the Lord. Yes, yeah, so if you have not learned to manage your time, like Pastor said years ago, you must first of all give to God what is God's, or else you will give what is God to Caesar. That is what many ministers are doing today. Going all over the place. The one that God told them to do, they won't do it because they have money. Go and start this one. Go and do this one. Go and do this one. Spread himself thin. Go on. I don't know. Bible doesn't say why Elisha died of a sickness. But it's probably, I'm not sure, he wasn't resting enough. He was going around. Why? Because he had double portion. When the anointing comes, you must know how to use it too. Under the direction of the Holy Spirit, you need the wisdom of God. Because there will be so many people to minister to. When it didn't break out like this, you will see. Let me read scripture to understand. Let's look at Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 in KJV. Look at what happened to him. You know, before he had the spiritual dimension, nobody knew him. He was just in the carpenter's shop. Yeah, he will close at normal time. But the moment he was baptized at Jordan and went for 40 and came back, there was no sleeping time again. No. What does he say? And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together. Insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Next verse. Is that verse 2? Okay. Let's go to Mark chapter 3, verse 7. This is what is coming, no? This is what is coming. So you must hold fast to priority, your intimacy with God in place of prayer and walking in the Spirit, giving your tithe daily to God. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon. A great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him and spake to his disciples, listen, that a small sheep to wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. Wait, you understand? Like, Pastor Andrew, go and get the car ready. Go and get the car ready. Why? So as Pastor Andrew is coming to share the grace, pew, Pastor and Mommy, they have disappeared. For where are they? Where are they? Before they cross over to the Tiberias, they're already at home. Jesus didn't bind the devil, though. He said, Peter, go and get the car ready. Start motor there. So immediately we finish, pew. Go away. He didn't buy the devil. He didn't say, I resist you in Jesus' name. Don't come near me. They will come. They want to touch him. By that time, so much had gone out. He needs to replenish. You'll have checked the gauge on his meter. Ah, the fuel is low. It's low. Before the thing starts dropping, and I can't do much again, it will just disappear. Many of us will wait till it's empty tank and the car will stop on the way. And say, bro, said, you're about me to hear George Money. 4 liters. 4 liters. Watch and pray always so that fuel will not finish in your car. Watch and pray always. Oh, keep topping. Don't wait. 4 liters, go. 2 liters near. It's now 140 something, whatever, 160. God have mercy on us. In the message, okay, are we disciples that you should, okay, let's wait on him. Okay. Verse 20, just to see. This is where we are going, moving to. This is the next page we are moving to. So if you have not learned to secure that morning prayer, that morning intercession, I follow him. You are going to discover that you are doing the wrong thing, like I said earlier on. So if God says, go to this place, then you can go and be doing something, even though it looks spiritual. And the multitude come together again. I want... Am I a Malakpanyo? Come over there, probably in heaven today. You're looking at me. So that they could not so much as eat bread. That's the anointing we're expecting. It's coming. When we are sitting down, you have free time. There is going to be a time, like Pastor will say, that if you come to church 2 minutes late, you will not have a seat. Go and look at the revival of Catherine Kuhlman. People will wake up as early as 3 a.m. Sleep. People will sleep overnight outside. So once they say, when they open, before they open the door, once it's about time, everybody will be like, brr, 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 brr. Once they open the door, everybody will run, brr, to get a seat. That is what is coming. No? The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. So, Mark chapter 6, verse 31, the Message Bible. It says, come off by yourselves. So it's not only applied to Jesus, but also the disciples that were following after that had the measure of his spirit, that measure. Jesus said unto them, come off by yourselves, let's take a break and get a little rest. For there was constant coming and going. They didn't even have time to eat. That's what is coming. But God is preparing us. Now, if you don't practice this aspect, like I said, God will deliver us so that we don't wear ourselves out. And for, because this, I identified the problem about matter, that is the prayerlessness that brought the care that troubled him, that he was doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. So it takes wisdom. So you look at something like Epaphroditus, Philippians chapter 2, verse 27. The Bible says, for the work of the Lord, say, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Verse 27, not 25, please. 27. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Verse 29, because of time. Oh, 30, sorry, 30. 30. 30. 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Now, what I want to say, was it the will of God for him to be sick during the work of God? No, Jesus is our pattern, is our example. So some must have gone wrong. Now, the other aspect of this is that why God paid the harvest experience with laborers are few. That's why in the Old Testament, each priest had different times they go. This one will go, then will go back home. Why did God do it like that? So that people don't wear out or burn out. You see, the problem most of all have is we are proud. You want to be the only one doing everything. So today you are here. Tomorrow you are the one doing this one. Some people neglect their family. No fellowship with their children, like Eli. Even Samuel, go and eat Samuel. You have said Samuel went in a circuit. We'll go from Ramah to this, and he'll come back. This, and he'll come back. This. Then at the end of the day, why would his children take bribe? His wife did not fall to the ground, but his children took bribe. Time management by the Spirit. Why are you pastor's book? You are portioned different times. But see, if you don't give God that tight, about 2.5 hours in the morning, every other thing will be scattered. Give unto God what is God. So you can see to give to Caesar what is God. Or else you give what is God to Caesar. Praise the Lord. The last example is Moses. Exodus chapter 18, verse 18. God had mercy on Moses. This thing, if you're not careful, is pride. I mean, Moses is first face. Moses is second face. Moses is third face. Moses is honor. I'm not saying it is wrong. Emotionally, you are glorying in your flesh. Who told you if you are not there, somebody else will not do it. Somebody else will do it with better wisdom. Look at how Moses is. Jethro. Now the question, didn't God tell Moses? He didn't hear. God speaks twice, once, twice, yet man perceives not. Then he sent his father-in-law, who was not born again, so to speak, to come and talk to him. You see, folks, there's one thing you need in your entire Christianity, honesty of heart. When you start doing something and become laborious and burdensome, stop and check. Honesty of heart would have told him that from morning till night, he won't come, Moses. If you are checked, you're like, God, morning till night. Then maybe when he finishes, and I got to call up to the mountain again. But God has to say, thou will surely wear away. Both thou and these people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. My mom had a journey. It's a deep statement. That is, in the body of Christ, there is no way that remembrance you will remove somebody that the congregation will close down. You know why? There are 7,000 that are hid in the cave. There are 7,000 that are hid in the cave that not bowed their knees to. So why do you think you are the only one, Elijah? If a white man can make a car and put an extra tire there, do you think God is less intelligent? You think God is less intelligent? It's our pride. I know we are not lazy. That's what I'm talking about. I know we are not lazy. We are not slothful. But we need the wisdom of God, which is profitable to direct. I'll give an example, contemporary example. I read some time ago in Kenneth Hagin's book. Kenneth Hagin said, after he began ministry, this is the thing we have to watch out for. You know, when there's money, you don't have to pray again about doing it. Somebody brings a problem, don't worry, you don't need 3 million. And someone says, you see, when you have a few coins that you have to believe, if I give this one, doesn't yield anything, I'm going to be in trouble. Have you? But when the spirit of measure comes and the ability of man of Christ, everything is going like that. Rosie, it's very easy for you to just start things that God didn't tell you to start. Then you wake up one day, you see people are in Koma Village. Or maybe not Koma Village. Help me. I want to say, these people, IDP. Yes, people are the displaced people. Then you say, maybe God has sent me to them. Like when we were praying, yes, the mom said something. She said, God has told her that God has not sent her to India. That she only stay with Brazil. Can you imagine? Or hours have been spent on India. God will use it too. Not that God will not use it too. Bible says, it's whoever believes, you know, these signs will follow them. The fact that these signs are following them, you are proof. Are doing the right thing. So Kenneth Hagin, in one of his books, I think Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, he said after some time, you know, he started a counseling section. And he was counseling people. He opened it to anybody, everywhere. So people are coming night and day for counseling. Then he gave his lesson. He said, he didn't know. God didn't tell him. God didn't say, stop counseling. He said he felt something inside. He said it was like washing your feet with your socks on. That is, there's something you have to remove. That is what I was saying. So he said he continued. I said one day, kept praying. He kept praying. Not one day, not 2 days. He kept praying. I kept praying. I kept praying. Set some time apart. Then one day, I was walking to the ministry. And he saw that wall, counseling session. Then God spoke to me and said, I didn't tell you to start counseling session. He said, let every pastor cancel their own saints. It seems so simple. He said, why do you want to be done to cancel everybody? You don't know everybody. He said, it's not as if you can't cancel people once in a while from other churches. But I'll put them under a shepherd who knows them. So let him cancel them. Why do you want to not take upon what God has not given to you? You know, some of us won't close it too. Instead of God told him, you know, he had the choice. So he would have continued counseling instruction. Counselor. What counselor? God will have mercy on us. So, now, how do we manage this thing? I've already talked about giving God our tithe. But I want to say something also. Because there are some times that you cannot avoid distractions. Let's be honest. It could be your person work with you at work. It will create a problem that you can't leave. Like they did for Joshua and Caleb. And they gave them unnecessary 40 years of distraction. You got what you say? So there's also overcoming much distraction. So there are some times that people will do things and put you in a situation. I for them that you cannot, you just have to stop. It may be time for church. And I say, oh God, you mean you did not do this? Hey, there are going to be times like that. Are you following me? So we'll see what we do. Or even in the normal, our normal day-to-day activities. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 18. This is what he did. Learn this principle. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 18. Are we there? Nehemiah 4, 18. Nehemiah chapter 4. This was when they were building the walls of Jerusalem. And they were afraid that Sanballat and Tobiah, they are going to come against them. So instead of them to put down their weapons and hold on to their instruments for building the wall, this is what it is. Say, for the builders. How many are builders here today? You are a builder once you are involved in any form of activity or work. Everyone had his one sword. Say, gathered what? By his side. And so, builded. Word of the Lord. Guard your sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. Psalm 45. And so they builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. So you are walking. I don't care whether I walk in a band. Your sword with the word of God is beside you. That small love book. So the trumpet sounds. There's a 3-day fast. No, let me say it again. The last time I said it, people said I caused trouble. Please. There's no 3-day fast tomorrow. Please. No, because I'm not ready. I must be honest. So, he said that the word just came. The trumpet, boom, a message just came. God have mercy. But because they had the sword beside them, are you following me? Once they heard the trumpet, they flew. So you guard your sword by your side. That is the word of God. As you are doing your physical activity, we see how we do it as we continue. The other example I have is Joshua. I've just mentioned it. You may be involved in work that takes your time. That you may have to work extra hours at work. Maybe you are working in the bank. And they say, they are coming to check their accounts and all that. You do what Joshua did. Don't say, because we work late, I won't pray. No, Bible says that when Moses left the tabernacle, Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. 33:11, Exodus. He said, the man Joshua stayed back. He won't die. Who said you will die? Are we there? He said, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as the man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun. How many people are Joshua's here? A young man departed not out of the tabernacle. You're looking at me. Let me give you an example. If you are working, you're supposed to close at 5 o'clock. And they give you an assignment that will stretch the time to 8 o'clock. Are you going to go home? So if tomorrow they move you from 8 to 10, are you going to go home? Are you going to tell your God I can't do it? Are you? So if you can move from 8 to 10 in the physical, so when you stop at 8, why can't you take that 8 to 10 and pray? Yes. I discovered a long time ago, you can pray anywhere once your attitude is right. Paul prayed in the sheep, where there was 14 days of darkness and there was a storm moving like this. I pray in my car. It's not when you go to Orioke. Those of you that cannot pray except you come to church, you are like those who go to Orioke. You can pray anywhere. Anytime, anywhere. You can learn to pray. God is everywhere. Pray without ceasing. So always do what you... I'm not saying you do or not. But you see, by the time you finish that work, get back in the spirit. Draw life. Those things, you say, Lord, I choose the fear of God. Love God. Pray in tongues. Keep building yourself up as you are going on. Keep building yourself up. Keep building yourself up so that by the time you are going to bed, you have enough strength to get up. Don't just say, we are finished today. Honey, where is the food? Oh, the flesh lost against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. So, how do we get this done? Praise the Lord. Habakkuk 2:2, I've quoted it. It says that write the vision, make it plain, so that he that readeth shall run with it. So, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. It will not tarry. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely speak and it will not tarry. So, we need to write the vision and make it plain. You know what your priority that day is for. Your priority is not to have other things added to you. Your priority is to seek first the kingdom of God. And then other things will be added unto you. Are you with me? So, why? Proverbs 29 verse 18, NIV. Proverbs 29 verse 18 in NIV. NIV. What does it say? Where there is no revelation or no vision, the people cast off restraint. Blessed is he who keeps the law. That's love, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we write the vision, which is what Pastor has taught us. Writing the vision. So how do we write the vision? Let me make it very simple. So you can immediately read this verse, you know exactly what to do. So you will not be distracted. Remember what I said earlier on. If you do what you are supposed to do, you know always, you know what you are supposed to do at any time. So the first thing is this: following through spiritual leadership. And you can do that basically in this house by joining Good Morning Jesus. Judges chapter 7, verse 17. Just follow. Just follow. I'm coming to what we are supposed to do day by day. Judges 7:17. What did Gideon tell them? Say, where? What did you say? And he said unto them, look on me. So you are talking about those that are with Gideon. Abi? Say, and he said unto them, look on me. And what? Do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. So if you do what you are supposed to do, which Gideon says you should do, you not do what you're supposed to do. Next verse. And when I blow a trumpet, that speaks about talking in tongues. Say the trumpet in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Say if the trumpet is talking about tongues, shall give an assurance that we shall prepare to battle. So not talking about a physical trumpet. So say when I blow the trumpet with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also. So everybody has his own trumpet. That's what you have when you pray in tongues. I follow him on every side of all the camp. And say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So everybody, good morning, just blow the trumpet as mommy and the people are blowing the trumpet. Just join them. That way you know the one you're supposed to do. And I will start from. So under that is, I summarize, is tighten your time. I mentioned that, you know, spending 2.5 hours daily. It's a goal. You may not be able to do 0.5 hours. No, that's why we join. That's where covering comes in. The pastor has thought, if it's that small book you can do, do it. Just join Good Morning Jesus by 5 o'clock. Just join them. Whatever they do, do like Gideon said. If they blow, blow. If they do this, do this. If you hear mommy say, divine shifting. You too, yes. You too, shout and say, amen, amen, amen. Just do what they do. Are you following me? Just do what, just follow. Are you following me? Yeah, very important. So, basically what they do there is this. Say, you choose the fear of God and the love of God. Then all that is enveloped in that good morning, Jesus, the battle prayer. You see, those that lead, Pastor Wale will start, you see, say, you choose the fear of God, they do, then you go into succession. So you are doing exactly what Bible says Gideon did. He said, just do as I do. So the next aspect I want to emphasize is daily walk in the spirit by washing our feet at least 4 times daily, or at every opportunity and at any temptation. Like I explained last time, the minimum, you see, after you leave Good Morning Jesus, that's not the beginning, that's not the end, though, that's just the beginning. Because everybody will log out. But you don't log out spiritually. Don't log out spiritually. Make sure you stay connected in God's own Zoom. So that one now gives you that push. So what do you do? Matthew chapter 26 verse 41. I will use the scriptures to explain as we close. You see, I said it on Wednesday, 2 weeks ago. As God had mercy on me. I said that the minimum is 4 times daily when you wash feet, right? Then the next thing is to do it at every opportunity. And I said, my own opportunity may be different from your own opportunity, depending on the circumstances of the day you are facing. Are you following me? Now, I said that if you do it at every opportunity, the level, the degree of the temptations will start dropping. Are you with me? Say, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is what? Willing, but the flesh is weak. So we see a problem here. He says, watch and pray. It means watch and pray. Always, you will never fall in temptation. Are you following me? Now it says the spirit is willing, the flesh. God understands the spirit is willing. But what does Galatians say? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh, or that weakness of flesh, that flesh that is weak. If you walk in the spirit all the time, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you with me? That is why 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, it says, wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence. That is where is the key. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, or you never feel loss of refresh. So the problem now is our diligence. Now I said what I said. I said you create the opportunity. Don't wait for it. So after the minimum of 4, now you may not be there. Then you start creating the opportunity. Don't wait. From here to your car, pray. Just pray. You find the temptations will start reducing. When they come, you find it easier to overcome. Praise the Lord. So it's giving all diligence that we can now make a calling and like diligence in using the blood, the word, and the spirit to wash feet. Are you with me? And then finally, daily Bible reading and study. For if you do these things, brethren, you will never fall, or you will always overcome distractions. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet as we talk to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's talk to God in our hearts. Let's ask for help. Let's ask for grace. He's here to help us. He's here to help us. The Bible says his commandments are not grievous. We don't have to be carried away by the spirit of this age that Pastor Colin was preaching about. We can overcome those distractions just the same way the master overcame in Mark chapter 1 verse 35. He said, wake up a good while before dawn and depart to a solid place, and there he prayed. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong kind and tears, not doing our simple same for that, and he was holding that if he had though he were strong, he had learned the obedience by the same which he suffered. Always remember, a full soul loads and honeycomb. So fill yourself spiritually before you go out. So it's easier for you to overcome any temptation or distraction. That says, it is when you jump out and you don't feel yourself, you are not full of the love of God, your armor is not on, then you find yourself, you are being carried away around by that spirit in the air. It says, the cause of this world, be filled with the spirit, Bible says. Down at your feet, O Lord, is the most high place.
Down at your feet, O Lord, is the most high place. In your presence. seek your face. We seek your face. There is no higher calling. There is no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne. I am amazed.
As your glory
embraced
by your mercy, O Lord, we live to worship you.
Let's raise our hand to God and put the other on our hearts. God has come to help us again by bringing this word. Let us pray. He's talking to God, asking for help. He understands that the spirit is weak and the flesh is weak. That's why we have to stay under covering, like I said. Covering makes up for the weakness of the flesh. And as you grow more, you do more. You do more. You may not be able to achieve or get to 2.5 hours a day, but start, even if it's 15 minutes, start. Then you begin to build up, and God only God will help. The Bible says it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that wanteth, but whom that God showeth mercy. The Bible says it is God that worketh not both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It takes time, we know. But let's try to strive towards this goal. We say, Lord, please have mercy on us. And so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the distractions of this present age and how to overcome them. I come to ask for fresh mercy and grace in sufficient measure to daily write division, to make it plain and to run with it as I daily, as an act of my will, choose the fear of God and put on the old armor of love, praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit with travail, and also to meditate daily in your word, and also as I fix my eyes daily to becoming like Jesus Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of my faith, that I might inherit the spirit without measure, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. Let us pray in the spirit. Rubo sam prabalaba kufre. Rubo sam prabalaba sukuru monsandra bakutofre. Raba santra masula masoka balaba kutofre. Rubo santra masula basala bakuto monsandra ba. Rubo santra bakuri monsandra bakufre. Kuru monsandra masala bakuto monsheka bakuro bakutofre. Rubo santra bakuto bakutofre. In Jesus' name, always remember, if you always do the right thing at the right time, you will never do the wrong thing at any time. Now, if you are here and you have need of healing, the Bible says, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from destruction. The power of God is in the air. The Bible says that you confirm his word with signs following. Just say, Lord, have mercy on me. And then concerning that, the mercy brings the blood to remove every sin or impediment in the way of your healing. If you say, need, just say, Lord, I receive by your mercy this need to be met. I receive deliverance from whatever it is. And it is done by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for covering. In Jesus' name.